Good morning. It's hard to have watched any news this past week without hearing about the visit of Pope Francis to the United States and some of the powerful thoughts that he has been sharing. And I want to just reference that a little bit in my thoughts this morning, particularly his time spent in New York. And I know a lot of you probably say, "Oh, here he goes with his New York stuff again." But there is a sort of a personal connection there that was kind of a reminder to me this past week of some things, and which I want to talk about in my thoughts this morning. I was particularly struck by the Pope's visit to St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. Many may know of St. Patrick's Cathedral. That was a place that was very much a part of my growing up as a young boy. I'm told in my family, it might be mythic, I'm not sure, but one of my great-great-grandparents was a stonemason who possibly worked in the building of St. Patrick's Cathedral, which was built in the middle of nowhere when it was built. It was called Hughes Folly. It was in the middle of farmland. And people were wondering, why are you building this church in the middle of nowhere? If you've been to Manhattan, St. Patrick's Cathedral is not in the middle of nowhere. It's pretty much in the midtown Manhattan part. And as a child growing up, my parents would go to New York quite a bit. We'd go, especially during Christmas time. We always made a stop at St. Patrick's Cathedral. And when I was in high school, the high school that I went to in Manhattan, I used to commute into Manhattan to go to high school. It was the custom there that the students of that high school would acolyte at the cathedral on Sundays. And so I would go into the city on a Sunday and acolyte at one of the services. And of course, it's the church, it's the cathedral where I was ordained a priest 36 years ago this November. So it has a lot of significance to me. So it was wonderful to see that church, which for me is almost like a home parish. It would be like if St. Paul's was on TV. You'd be proud of it and want to see that. So that was part of it that struck me. The other powerful part was, if you followed any of this, the Pope's visit to a school in East Harlem. He wanted to see ministry in the midst of the poor and the struggling. And he went to a school called Our Lady of Angels, and a place that I know well. And you know, as many of you know, I was a Roman Catholic priest for a few years. And most of those years, I was in education. I was a teacher. And I taught at a high school in the Bronx called Cardinal Spellman High School, which was a school that was predominantly Latino and African American. And most of the students came from East Harlem, Washington Heights, the South Bronx, if you know that area, where we, at the end of the day, we'd hang out with the kids because a lot of them didn't want to go home to their neighborhoods. They were so dangerous, but they would hang around the school where they felt safe in the Bronx, the part where we were. I also had occasion to help out in those parishes on weekends as kind of a supply priest. Some of them predominantly speaking Spanish, and I would struggle through saying some prayers in Spanish. And also gave retreats to elementary school students who were preparing for confirmation in many of those churches during my time. So it was a time of remembering for me of a really incredible part of my ministry. And I looked at some of those students that were on TV the other day at Our Lady of Angels, wondering if some of them were the children of students that I had taught so many years ago. So it was a powerful, kind of powerful moment. And The Pope then also went to Philadelphia, described one of the commentators as a gritty city and a blue-collar city. And it felt to me that's the kind of city I grew up in Yonkers. It felt like a place of where I probably feel some familiarity. But the message that all of these things that have been going on, we've seen in the news, is Pope Francis talking about the church needing to go to the periphery. He mentioned yesterday in Philadelphia in this grand cathedral, a basilica, how he learned about the history of the church, which had built these incredible walls and these incredible windows. And I don't know if you saw this, but he turned and said, "I hope the church, though, is not about building walls, but about knocking down walls and going out to where we need to be, where Jesus would be," as the phrase he used, to the periphery, to the poor, the hungry, struggling folks. As I've listened to that this past week, it just reminds me so powerfully of the conversation and the ministry and the dream that we've been trying to live in here at St. Paul's and the dream that we've been trying to live into here in our diocese of North Carolina with Bishop Curry, our bishop's leadership. Bishop Curry, you know, that line, that verse trying to challenge us to go to Galilee. You know, go to that place where Christ is. It's not about trying to bring people to the church as much as how do we bring the church to where people are and where there's a need. And so that's a message that I really hear this morning in our reading from the gospel. Not that second part about cutting off arms and cutting off legs and all that kind of thing. That's just the Semitic. It's Semitic language. It's like exaggerating something to make a point. That's another whole homily, that part. But the beginning is an interesting scene. And you read it, you say, this is so church. remember the scriptures. The scriptures oftentimes are a revelation to us of what was going on in the early Christian community, particularly the New Testament, a role of scripture, really. What was going on in that community? It's important to remember that the community following Jesus were trying to figure out who they needed to be and what they were. It was really the tradition of the early church. That's why in the Episcopal tradition we talk about scripture and tradition and reason, not just the Bible. Some of our Christian brothers and sisters were like, just the Bible, sola scriptura. Well, the Bible grew out of a tradition. It came from a people who were experiencing the holy in their lives. And we still experience that holy in our lives. So it seems that in the early Christian community, there must have been people who were doing things that were not part of the Christian community. And so Mark tells this story this morning from the life of Jesus, where Jesus, it seems, was a healer. And in those days, a lot of illness, sickness was seen as being demonic, of the devil. And so healers were looked upon as people who cast out the demon, cast out the devil. Jesus healed people, and his disciples began to take on that ministry. And what we hear today in our gospel reading is the followers of Jesus saying, hey, you know, we're followers of Jesus. And Jesus, there are these people over here who are healing people also, and they're not followers of us. Interesting phrase. They're not followers of us. And Jesus calms down the conversation. You know, what they're doing is good. You know, if they're not against us, they're for us. Can you hear that? It's almost like Jesus is opening this up a bit to see that it's not just about us who gather together in community to gather and support each other, but we're called to find ways to connect with things in our world where the gospel is being lived, where things are happening, and to find those things. That's what it means, as Bishop Curry has told us, to go to Galilee. Go to Galilee. Go to that place. As Pope Francis has been saying, go to the periphery. Go to those places where we are not yet and where perhaps where we need to be. And so as we walk this journey here at St. Paul's, how do we continue to respond to that? We look around our community, our world. We see hunger here at St. Paul's. We respond to that in different ways. We collect food for urban ministries. So that little red wagon, if you could see the total amount of food that is collected annually, it'd be a lot more than that little red wagon. I'm not sure how many red wagons we'd need to hold that food, but there's tons of food that we gather to try to share with folks who are hungry. In a few weeks, we'll have Stop Hunger Now. Glenda will talk a little bit about that during announcements, a way to gather food together to be sent to the hungry in the world. How do we respond here in our community to homelessness, people who don't have a place to live? And we're having conversations here in the parish about ways to connect to that. There are organizations in the community that are doing this kind of work. And how can we join together? Join together and make a difference. We look at this, the refugee crisis in Syria throughout Europe. And we can think to ourselves, that's so distant, that's so far away. What can we do about that? Our presiding bishop, Catherine Jefford Shorey, has invited us into dialogue on that. Here at St. Paul's, we're going to get a few folks together in a week or so to kind of look at some of these ways. How can we engage with that with this refugee crisis in our world? How do we deal with the immigrants in our world? Not by building walls, but by meeting people. These refugees, immigrants, the homeless, the hungry, they're not just statistics. They're people. And any of us could very quickly become one of those people. And we're just some folks not far away in their lives, here in this community of Cary. How can we do that? How can we go forward? I think that's something for us to reflect on and to think about. We do so many things here so well. We need to feel proud of ourselves and good about ourselves. But then how can we continue to live into this dream? We have invited someone to join with us over these next couple of months, a consultant named Peter Saros, to be someone who can work with us and facilitate conversation with us. How can we live into this dream? How can we live into this vision? And how can we come forward to support it together? There'll be an opportunity to come together on October 14th. You may have received a letter from me inviting you to that. I want you to be there. I want you to be there on October 14th. Look at your work schedule, tell your boss, I got to be there, and gather together with us, and dream together, vision together, and see where we can deepen and grow in this call that we have as a parish community to be a wonderful opportunity. So let us go forth this day to Galilee, to the periphery, to be a church, as I've often said, love God, love your neighbor. Change the world. That's who we are. That's who we're called to be. And we're actually in the process of trying to look at a way to have that printed out in the narthex, perhaps by Christmas, that will remind us as we leave here who we're called to be as a gathered community sent forth. To love not statistics, not ideas, not ideology, but people. People. Love God. Love those people. And by doing that, change the world.